Praise God. We're so thankful for that. So, amen. Be in prayer for that. And if, after church tonight, if you have any questions concerning ingredients or things that you could get to help us with that we are still needing, just get with us. Amen. I do have a list right here. We're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. Amen. The book of Ecclesiastes is the first chapter. And it does feel good to feel Jesus today. Amen. Praise God. And let me tell you, while you're turning there, we are never at that place that we get too sophisticated for God. You know, I know some people say, well, them old songs, Brother Crossway, we don't need them sing them old songs. I mean, they're antique. Well, there's some new songs that I definitely don't want to sing. Amen. And everybody's jiving to them, but they don't have a clue, amen, what goes with the package. I'm thankful for that package of these old songs that carried a lot of people through. Amen. Hallelujah. And they'll keep you. Praise God. It's kind of like gravy. Amen. Sister Ricky, you cook for people, and there's a difference between something that's canned and something that is original. Amen. And when you go to eat, she's cooked for a lot of the people through the years. And Sister Ricky, when you go, you're able to taste and tell if that's genuine or else that's just that eat-up quick stuff. Amen. You know what? I don't want the quick stuff. I want the genuine stuff. How about you? I want what God has for us. Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. And we're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3 tonight. And you may be seated. We're going to elaborate on that just as soon as we read it. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. He said, vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he had taken under the sun? You may be seated. What profit? What good is it? All is vanity. I want to talk to us tonight about the rut of meaningless existence. The rut of meaningless existence. And I don't care who you are, there's going to be a time that you're going to catch yourself in a rut. Whether physically or spiritually, routines are great. Habits are great, as long as they're good habits. And we need to develop and construct good habits. But hear me, there's sometimes we get in a rut. Amen. And we get in a spiritual rut. And I want the Lord to help me. Amen. That I don't get in a spiritual rut. I heard an old timer say that a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends knocked out. Amen. I don't want to be in the rut of meaningless existence. I want the Holy Ghost to guide me. So Solomon here opens this book by telling us he has nothing good to tell us. In fact, he says he has nothing good to talk about because everything that he has searched and strive for, or whatever you want to, the tense of that word, he said the end result is just vanity, useless. The word vanity just means meaningless. It means an empty void, without meaning, without purpose, without significance. Can you imagine the things that people reach for today? The people, though this, our world, our natural instincts, we feel that we've got to have this. We feel like we have to have that. But Solomon says the bottom line, it's all meaningless. And if Solomon was here today, and if he was going to preach to us, the topic of his sermon would be the nothingness of every day. The nothingness of every day. And we would say, wait, Solomon, what are you talking about? You're the man. You're the guy with all the wealth and the power, the wisdom. You have all these wives. Surely your wife has given you some information. I mean, my wife knows how to give me all kind of good information. She could straighten my hide, fix my hide, and feed my hide. What more? And he had all these women to help him, but Solomon still said, all these things are vanity and vexation. The world's wisest, wealthiest man, answering the question, what's the purpose of all this? There's not. There was a man that went on a cruise, and he wrote something, and he was on that cruise ship, and he said he was looking at the vast ocean that this cruise liner was in, and he was reminded of how insignificant and how small he was. All around him was water. All he could see was water. And fact, he said it was the largest body of water in the Pacific Ocean. And here he was. He said, I felt like a little speck there in the middle of the ocean. And he said, that big old ship that I was on, it was big. But you know what? In reality, it was just a speck. And he said, I got to notice, and I turned around and went to the stern of the ship. And I noticed that when the ship would go, it would kind of leave like an indention in the water. But he said, in just a little bit, the water came back together, and you didn't even know it was there. And he said, you know, that's the way life is. When we go through life, we leave just a little bit, small, temporary indention. And when it's all over for us, there's nothing there. Amen. I want to tell somebody today, amen, there's a lot of people striving to be remembered by people. They want their name in the Hall of Fames. They want their names in museums. They want their names in billboards. But friend, I want to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How about you? The greatest thing for you, amen, is that the Lord knows who you are. Your neighbor may not know who you are. The world may not know who you are. And today it seems with YouTube, Facebook, and all the media, today everybody wants to develop for themselves a name. But your name is meaningless. Amen, and has really no value. Your life has no value if the King of Kings is not there. Now, the area of purpose and identity and significance of life, it's just a small speck of meaning. And that rut of meaningless existence sometimes we all get into. We get in that routine where, you know, we look around and think, you know, I did all this. And I haven't accomplished anything. Let me just get on the spiritual side of this today. I have seen people come and they get good quality building material. God has granted them the very best of building material, teaching and preaching an opportunity. But friend, when it was all said and done, they had nothing but a bunch of constructive material, information, and no application of it. No relationship with God. What good is it if we have all the preaching in the world, all the teaching in the world, all the music in the world, if we are not constructing our life on the things of God? What good is it? And church can become a meaningless rut when we don't look at the purpose that God has. One reason of importance I want to talk to you about is this a purpose. God devoted the whole book of Ecclesiastes to addressing the purpose of man. And it speaks about our need for a sense of real purpose, a sense of real fulfillment. And Solomon was writing. He went through a lot of searching in his life to try to find meaning. And he too was in a place that he found himself in the rut, the grave, a meaningless existence until he came to himself and realized all was vanity. Now, you're going to get some advice from somebody on a subject that is important. You don't want to hear from a loser. You want to hear from a winner, right? You want the advice from somebody who has made it, so to speak, who has been successful. If you're trying to grow hair, you don't want to go to a hair growth expert who's bald-headed. But you want somebody with hair. If you're trying to lose weight, you wouldn't go to a big old 300-pound nutritionist and he's trying to tell you how to lose weight. Those things don't just compete or compute together. They don't form together. So to get the real deal about life's purpose, we need to go somebody who can speak from true experience. And we need to hear from that person we can respect. And as people of God, we need to realize, amen, that the Word of God still has answers for us. Even sometimes we could read the Word of God and we think, oh, well, it don't mean anything to me. It's just a bunch of words on the page. But folks, deep inside this precious book is a God that wants to speak to us. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Friend, I don't want another board, amen, to rot on the ground that I didn't put together. That I didn't put, fasten it together and build my spiritual being and worked on my faith. Amen. Sometimes And when we get to that place where we look and we think, I had good intentions, but time has weathered and warped my materials, that all those things are useless. We need somebody who has it together, somebody to encourage us. Tonight, if you're in the rut of meaningless existence, I don't want to shame you, condemn you, but I'm going to give you a ladder tonight that you could get out of it. And thank God when somebody comes out of that rut, amen, you'll take that ladder and help somebody else with it. Amen. We're so quick in this hour to judge people, to condemn people. And it's funny because many people go through life and they'll run from a person that agitates them or to get mad at somebody. Believe me, I mean, you could change locations. You could run from here to yonder. And when you get somewhere else and you finally settle down, that person that you left behind may not be the one that's rubbing shoulders and will agitate you. It'll be a person just like them with a different face and a different name. People are going to be people. And you're living in a world full of people. And people will get you to that place, either influence you or cause you to begin to be ill-influenced, aggravate you, frustrate you. And you could get even the rut where you start getting bitter with life because the people around you rub you wrong. And you feel like there is no hope for me in God. Have you ever been in that rut before that you felt like I'm just a loser? I can't make it. There's no use even going to church. I might as well just throw in the towel, so to speak. I'm going to tell somebody today, it's worth every fight. It's worth every struggle. It's worth everything you do to say, God, I got to make it. Praise God. And so Solomon was one, amen, talking about different things. Solomon was a perfect person to look at because he was not a perfect man, far from perfect. But this man, he could buy and sell whatever he wanted. At the peak of his reign as king of Israel, Solomon had more money than all the entire nations. I mean, he would make the richest man in the world right now look like a just ghetto child. I mean, he was very wealthy. And besides being filthy rich, he had possessions. He had things at the fingertips. He had authority. He could snap his fingers. He could speak. And things could get done. Career, man, he had it. And he was a king of a great kingdom. Top guy. If you make it a king, you can't go any higher than that. It seemed like everything worked for Solomon. Everything came together. Solomon had it all. He was a dream machine for everybody else. But Solomon said at the bottom, it was still nothing. Life is just vanity. He said all the power, all the grandeur, all the different things, he said, it's not going to help us. You know what else he said? He said, you know, I couldn't find it in this, so I start looking for it in wisdom. He started educating himself, seeking for wisdom. And God gave him a gift of wisdom. And even with that gift that God gave him of understanding of great things and wisdom, how to judge things and how to do things, it still didn't fulfill his soul. It was all vanity, he said. And he talked about how empty and futile he felt life to be. You know, he had all the credentials to speak on this subject, that subject, and he had answers. But friend, you could have all the answers in the book and still not have the answer for your soul. You hear me? And so Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And by the time we start getting to meet Solomon in the Word of God, he lost his way with God. His heart was turned by the many wives that he had, the influences, the voices there in his life. But if you just read just a little bit further, his life took a detour. And even though he took a long detour, he found his way back to God. And Solomon used that detour to teach us about the purpose of life in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of people searching for self. You're trying to find the meaning for your life. And you've heard the person say, well, I just got to be me. I've had people look at me and say, I can't live for God. Why? Why you not come to church? Well, pastor, you know, I just got to be me. I just got to find me. You need to ask the question, who is the me you got to be. Everybody's searching for that me, that person. Who is that person you got to be? That all-important question, Solomon didn't know the answer, but he went on searching for himself and looking for that meaning. But in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, in his search for pleasure, in his search for riches, he said, I still couldn't find it. Have you ever heard the little, seen the bumper sticker before? He who has the most toys win. It really does. That's not a winning thing. That's not a winning thing. Many people follow this and try to find purpose and having the biggest and the best. Friend, you can live for God with holes in your shoes. You can live for God with Goodwill clothes on. And you can live for God in a common house and drive a used car and still make it to heaven. Praise God. You don't have to have all the riches and the finest in order to have a relationship with God. You know, somebody said, well, you know, Solomon, look at him. You know, he tried maximizing pleasure. He looked for pleasure, the greatest of greatest of pleasure. You know, he didn't go to parties. He was the party. And he called for parties. But the parties and the pleasures did not bring a sense of significance and a reason for living. It brought him to that big zero in his life, that big empty spot in his life. You know what he said in 2:11 Ecclesiastes? He said, then I considered all my hands have done and the toil that I had extended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. And I'm reading it just basically in a different version. I like the King James, amen, but I'm reading it in something just to give you a little hint of what I want to say. Have you ever tried to chase the wind? Have you ever grabbed a handful of the wind with your fist? I mean, you could feel it, but you lost it just as soon as you got it. That's what pleasure's like, Solomon is saying. He threw the party, but the party would always not end up the way he really desired it. It was empty as before he started it. And he was, in the end, disappointed because he was never fulfilled. He had good times, but the good times expired. He was left as empty as before he ever started. So today, if you're banking on pleasure, you think it's going to give you a reason for living, you're going to be sorely displeased to find out it's like trying to catch the wind. You know, I mentioned he searched for wisdom. One of the wisest men the Bible speaks of. And Solomon says, there's got to be more to it than this. In your quiet moments when you're lying on your bed at night, do you ever think about your life and the prospect of death and say, you know, there's got to be more to it than this? I think about Brother McLean. Brother McLean is, I mean, just a little bit older than I am. And in a matter of a Sunday morning service, he leaves church. After they had a thing in the fellowship hall, they ate after Sunday morning service. And he got on the road that he knew well. And five different vehicles was involved in this wreck. And he and another person died. And it makes you stop and think about life. When you have to go to the funeral or the graveyard or the funeral home and you have to begin to evaluate somebody else's life and you wonder, man, they were young. Life was, I mean, not fair is what the word that many people say. Life is not fair. You know, I have a God who's fair. I got a God who's just, and there's an eternity for us. Amen. And I'm thankful that many people have not seen that, but those that have seen, I'm thankful that they give me a peace that say, amen, hey, there is still a fulfillment when you walk with Jesus Christ. But Solomon said all is vanity. He searched for success. He looked for all the meanings of life. You know, a cardboard casket and a bronze casket. I don't care how big of a casket and how beautiful a casket you may have, or whether it's a cardboard box. The grave is the equalizer. All the toil and the sun, Solomon said, all the work will never satisfy the soul. The only way to make life have meaning is whenever you stop and follow that yearning inside of you and you start seeking God. And he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I want God to be in that place in my life. God needs to be the main ingredient in your life. He needs to be the main search of your life. Amen. Many times we question about our eternity and we start thinking about it. What lies around the corner? What would happen to me tonight? What would happen to you? And there's been people that I thought, man, they got a beautiful life, and you know, and I thought, man, they're going to be around. There was young people I grew up with that I thought, man, they're going to be around. Young boys I went to school with, even in Christian school, there's some of them dead. Some of them that I went to church with in Louisiana, I went to Christian school with. Some of them been shot in a robbery. Some of them died. And it makes you scratch your head and say, what happened? Why were they searching? They were given the very best material there is to make something out of their life. But looking at it now, I see nothing but warped material, weathered material that was laid wasted. I don't want to waste what God is trying to get over to me. I don't want to be one that neglects so great salvation. I want God to be the main vein in my life. I want to love him with all my heart, all my soul, and my might. So if you go after pleasure, wisdom, success, you can't find it without God. If God's not in the main ingredient of your life, you know, there's some things that, some staples in the kitchen. If you had to survive, and you needed to survive with in a kitchen, Sister Ricky, what's one of the most main staples that you use? Flour? Anything else? Anybody? Salt? There's some common staples that we use. And folks, if some of these staples were gone, it doesn't take long that, oh, that's just flour, that's just salt. That's just, you know, those things that, you know, just common staples of life. And I want to tell you, there's some common things of godliness and righteousness that if we neglect and if we don't put in our life and our everyday diet of a relationship with God, amen, we're going to find ourselves drifting away, gnarling our soul away, and then the fire of our relationship will be gone. Amen. I need God in my life. God needs to be that supreme thing inside of me. That's why we got to look to God. We got to seek God. Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and it more abundantly. You know, life is not found in living. Many people think life is found in living. No, life is found in the living one. Hear me. Jesus told the woman at the well, you could drink of this water and you're going to thirst. But the water that I give to you, if you drink of it, you shall never thirst again. You can't make it without the work of the operation of the Holy Ghost in your life. Jesus agreed with Solomon. He said, life is a gift from above, God. I want you to think that your life is a gift. Have you ever heard somebody say, I am a twofold child of God? First of all, we were made by God and born, amen, as we got, and he redeemed us. Man fell, and he redeemed us. That makes us a twofold. That's the reason why we got to be born again. Because, amen, you need the Spirit of God dwelling in your life. You have to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a suggestion. The Holy Ghost is not just a blessing that you just get. The Holy Ghost is God living in your life. You have to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, that's this old flour. That's just old corn. Amen. It's still the right ingredient. And when I say you have to have the Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about somebody just speaking with other tongues. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with other tongues. But you need more than a tongue talking experience. You need a God relationship walk. A walk with God that will help you every day. A walk that will keep you. We say it, but I got to say it again. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma that when you get it, sit down and quit living for God. The Holy Ghost is a birth certificate. It's a beginning. You got to keep working on your life. And I want to just tell you today, if you're in the rut of meaningless existence, where you got to that place where you can't find fulfillment, your life is blah and bland. And you got to make yourself come to church. You got to make yourself pray, because you have no longer a feeling. You're at that place in a rut that you're trying to say, man, I don't know why I didn't even come to church. It is there that you need to realize God does have a purpose for you. When you could change churches, you could run to somewhere else. It's the same thing. Amen. If you're not committed to God, amen, and have a desire, amen, whatever state that you're in, if you don't have a relationship with God, amen, you'll never find one somewhere else. Until you get to the place that you commit yourself to God. Because around you, the enemy would provide excuses and people that you say, man, I can't live with them. Hey, you can either go to heaven or hell with people. And you think living on earth with people that are agitators, how would you like to go to hell with them? Man, I'm thankful for the righteousness of God. Not one of us deserves God. Heaven and the things of God is a gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting betterment, of better things in life, to better yourself. But friend, don't get to that place that you think that's the purpose of life. That you're better than everybody else. No, we're not better than anybody. We're just bettered because Jesus plucked us out of the miry clay. Amen. So if you're in that rut of meaninglessness, and you need a ladder, an escape, let me just say this. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13. Let me extend this ladder to you. He said, the end of the matter is this. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In other words, we're not going purpose hunting. You'll never find your purpose by going purpose hunting. If you don't go God hunting. If you don't seek God and seek to know God, all your searching is futile. When you know God, there's going to be a difference. My question is, who owns your life? There's a man that bought his little daughter a doll. And one day he walked in, and she had that doll by the feet, and she was banging that doll against the kitchen sink. And she was mad and she was upset. And the daddy reached down and he said, hey, don't do that to your doll. She said, well, it's mine. I can do what I want with it. And daddy took it out of her hand. He said, honey, I bought this doll for you and gave it to you as a gift for you to take care of, not to mistreat. And if you misuse this gift, I could take it from you. You know, you think your life is yours. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is whose? You're like the little girl with the doll. You beat your life to pieces. And you think, it's mine. I can do what I want with it. I got rights. What rights will you have when it's all said and done? You would have none at all. But I'll tell you what I love. Amen. When you give your life to God and realize that the gift of life, amen, will never be enjoyed until you look at it as an opportunity and a gift from above. Amen. And what Jesus done to save and reach to you and to give you hope. Amen. When you stop and look at it like that, you'll find real meaning. Amen. In life, when the Prince of Peace, the life giver is inside of you and you're walking with Him. You think your life is yours? Just keep living it like that. Keep beating it against the sink. Keep on fussing about your life. Amen. When God starts taking it from you, what are you going to say? He gave it to you as a gift and you've made your life miserable. Get out of your rut tonight. Get on the ladder. Amen. Get closer to God. Step up. Go to the next step of life. Just don't stay up on the first rung. Take the next step. Get closer to God. Do what you can. If you come to church and you just sit like a bump on a log and you're imitating Mount Rushmore. Come on. Amen. Whether you're in the sound booth, on this platform. Amen. You need to worship God with everything you got. But if you're in the pews as well. And I can't stand it when I look in that sound room and, Brother Coach, you're looking at me and not worshiping during service. Amen. And I'm picking on him, but I would pick on anybody sitting in that spot. You would. I've been places where preachers get on the platform, they cross their legs and they're swinging their legs, and you're just looking at them. They're just looking at the crowd, and they never worship. But when they get to the pulpit, they're screaming, come on, worship God. You bunch of deadheads. You wouldn't like that. Folks, as God has pulled you out of the pit of sin, amen, as a saint, you need to walk in, amen, and give God your best, even if you don't feel it. Amen. Oh, you need to reach to God, amen, the giver of life, and crown him with honor. Amen. Come on, this ought to be a celebration to you. Every time you walk in this doors, he gave you an opportunity to live. Amen. Oh, and he's just asking you to give back to him. Get to the bottom line. Hear me. When love is lost, hear this clearly. When love is lost, labor is in vain. When zeal lacks love, faith is rendered useless. Let me just show you how God works. Sister Kristen, my Bible program this morning, my devotion, I'm reading it to us right now. When love is lost, labor is in vain. Love is the crux of faith. You know, that's the way the Lord speaks to me. Everywhere I turn, I find the Lord speaking to me today about meaning and purpose. And definitely the Lord said, amen, you need to challenge my people. You need to give them a ladder to crawl out of that rut of meaningless. You can study the Bible like a scholar, pray like a warrior, evangelize the world like it's ending tomorrow, and still miss the mark of faith. You know what God desires? He says, I desire your love. I desire your affection. When we teach it in the jail, when we teach it, I tell everybody, you got to have AAA. You know, AAA is not an insurance policy. AAA with God is an assurance policy. You better have, God better have your, first of all, your attention. I see so many people distracted in life. Don't let life distract you. God wants your attention. A, number one. The second thing God wants is your appetite. Amen. God wants your appetite. He said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. He said, if you do that, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Oh, you ought to put the word fulfilled there. Because when God fills you, you will be fulfilled. The third A. God wants your availability. It's kind of like a hotel room. They got those little things you hang on the door that says to the maid, I'm busy right now. I'm sleeping. I'm occupied. Many times God comes to the door and we have a too busy signal or sign there, I'm not available. Are you available for God to use, or are you in that rut of meaningless existence that God can't get to you because you're too involved with yourself? You love you more than you love God. Let's go a little bit further. Paul reprimands the church in Corinthians. He said, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, have the gift of prophecy, and have faith that I can move mountains, he said, but you know, they're nothing. They're meaningless. If I don't have what? If I don't have charity, if I don't have love, and that word love right there, if I don't have that love for God, I could speak in tongues and speak in tongues, and I could prophesy, and I have faith to move mountains, but if I don't have a love for God, and if God is not one in my life, the scripture says it is meaningless. He continues, he said, if I give my body or parcel out every all my possessions, give up my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, even all that sacrifice is still zero, meaningless. Hear me. The grace that God has shown us should break our hearts and drive us to Him, deepen our love and motivate our labors for Him. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the grace and the goodness of God. Not one of us deserves to be here tonight. I want His love to motivate me. I want His love to get me up, amen, and help me. Amen. I want His love to drive me. Amen. I want God's attention. How about you? Amen. I don't want God just to look down and say, I wonder what He's going to do today. But I want God to say, whoa, amen, look at what He's doing. I can't help but bless Him today. Oh, look what He's doing. Amen. When He had opportunity to do other, He made a choice and said, no, I'm not doing this. My life is reserved for God Almighty. When Miss Flirt Delilah comes away after my heart, I want to turn my head and say, no, Delilah, I don't belong to you. Amen. When opportunity comes, when somebody wants to influence me the wrong direction, I want to have the backbone enough to say, no, I don't belong to me. I belong to Him. Amen. Hear me. Love will keep you. And guess what? Love will sustain you, fulfill you. When you love God, you start loving God. And I use this illustration in closing. You want God to fill your cup, you got to empty your cup. You start worshiping, emptying your cup out unto God. You pour yourself out. When you pour yourself out, it's kind of like a cup of coffee. And I like to drink my cup of coffee in the morning. And sometimes there's just a little bitty drop in the bottom of it. Olivia, just a drop in the bottom of my cup. You know what I do? I'll try to get that little drop down. It's good to the last drop. And sometimes when we're emptying ourselves out, it seems there's just something I can't get out like I need to. And I'll shake my life. I'll shake that old cup of life. But friend, when it is out of me, how beautiful it is to finally get all of me before God, because the presence of God will fill me. And not only does God fill me, but He says, amen, He'll make your cup running over. He'll fulfill your life. Amen. Oh, friend, I don't want to be just filled with the Holy Ghost, but I want to be fulfilled in the Holy Ghost. Walk in with Jesus Christ. Stand with me. The rut of meaningless existence. You start looking around, comparing yourself with. Psalmist said, my feet almost slipped when I looked at the ungodly, and I thought, man, they're so, everything they do is turning to gold. You know, that young man looks at the neighbor's kids. Man, their daddy gave them a brand new pickup truck, four-wheel drive. Look at it. Woo! That young daughter of theirs, I mean, she's got a brand new car, sports car. It's pink, trimmed in purple, colored in your favorite colors. And you think, man, that girl gets everything she wants. She's got mama and daddy's credit card. She can go buy whatever she wants. But it won't do us a bit of good. A bit of good. I don't want to miss the mark. God has given us access to His throne. And I want to live for Him. I don't belong to me. I belong to Him. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to God tonight? The Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, hear Him. God, renew me, Jesus. Renew my purpose. Renew my identity. Come on, would you reach to the Lord tonight? Just don't do it because I ask. Amen. Do it for your sake. Get a hold of the ladder. Amen. Come on, step up tonight. Step out of that old rut. Amen. And say, God, renew my purpose. Renew my commitment. Renew my, Lord, my drive. Renew my zeal. But Lord, renew my love. Amen. Give me a love of Thy truth, a love of Your presence, a love of the things of Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep your hands lifted tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to search your life. Search your life right now.
Jesus at the the center of it all.
Jesus.
From beginning to the end, always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Well, what does God have to do to get your attention? What does he have to do to get your appetite? What does God have to do to get your availability? Come on, won't you just freely give it to him tonight? Get out of that rut. Come on, get out of that rut. Come on, brother, get out of that rut. Sister, get out of that rut. Climb up out of it.
It'll always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.
Well, you need to be renewed tonight. Yes, we do. I want you to step out of your chair. Just come stand in the front for a moment. Amen. Of honor to the Lord. Come on, get out of your chair. Come on to the front. Hallelujah. Come on, make that effort tonight. God, I come for you tonight. God, I'm not my own of yours. Hallelujah. God, mold me, hold me, help me, Jesus.
Nothing else.
Come on, nothing else matters. Come on, nothing else will matter to you. God, I gotta have you. Lord, I gotta have you. Come on, don't hide behind another excuse. Come on, come close tonight, saints. Come on, sisters. Come on, brothers. Come close. Come on, I'm not pulling teeth tonight. I'm trying to reach the sheep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
From my heart to the head.
Come on, pray. Talk to the master tonight.
Jesus, be the center. It's all about
God,
you.
This is for you,
Lord. It is all about you.
From my heart to the heavens. Come on, empty it out. Give it over. Give it to God.
Jesus, be the center.
Come on, empty it out, saints. Here am I,
it's
Jesus.
It's all about
you, I've had enough
you,
of my ways. I've
Lord,
had enough of my ways,
it's
Jesus.
All about
I need you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it'll always be.
Come on, give God honor around the front tonight.
You,
come on, give God that honor tonight. Hallelujah. Don't escape. Don't try to run from the presence of the Lord tonight. Come on, approach his throne. Nothing else matters. Come on.
Nothing.
Don't try to shortchange God. Come on. Come on, give him that honor. Give him that time.
Jesus, you're the center.
Soul out to the Lord tonight.
Well,
give God your worship. Give God your worship. Don't hang on to yourself.
Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. From my
Would you let that be your prayer tonight?
Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Don't let the Holy Ghost minister. Don't hold
you
back.
You have called me.
Somebody needs to obey the Holy Ghost. Come on, God.
I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me, I will answer. Lead me,
pray with that person near you right now. When you pray for them, I want you to pray like tonight would be their last night to live, and that you had to pray for them, and your prayer is going to be something important to help their life. My pastor taught me as a child, every time you come to the house of God, it needs to be as your last opportunity. I want you to pray with that person like it's their last opportunity. Hallelujah. Pray with that person. Come on, talk to the Lord with them. God, touch them. Lord, touch us together, Jesus.
Lead me, Lord, and I will follow.
Lead me, Lord, yeah.
Lead me, Lord.
Come on, pray sincerely.
I will
go. Come on, pray sincerely for them.
You have called me.
Distraction from the vein of the Holy Ghost.
Hold me, I will answer.
Take some time just to listen. Open your ear, okay? Hear what the Spirit's saying right now. Give God a little bit of time to speak to your heart. little. Your victory comes when you step out of that rut. Amen. You take that ladder and you let somebody else have it. Amen. To get out of their rut. Amen. Victory belongs to you to walk and to talk with Him. Amen. Would you lift both hands to Jesus tonight above your head? Amen. High as you can, and say, Lord, thank you tonight for loving me. You didn't give up on me. Think about Solomon. Solomon went his way with the Lord. Amen. He was able to return to the God of his creation, God of his salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for caring for me, Jesus. Thank you for helping me, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for being a God of opportunity and grace. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Holy you are, God. Righteous you are. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. As we dismiss, could you bow your heads one more time? God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your kindness and your faithfulness. Thank you for the precious gift of your Spirit operating in us, God. Pray that you would walk with us, that you would teach us, that you would help us, God. Cover our lives, God. Cover our families. Cover our homes. God, let that ministry of the Holy Ghost continue, God, throughout the days. Jesus, help us. Help us to walk with you, to love you with all of our souls, with all of our hearts. We give you the praise and the honor. The praise and the honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Could you give Him a hand clap of praise? Amen. Greet a neighbor. Heaven, how? Together, you're dismissed in Jesus' name.